The recent total solar eclipse captured the imagination of millions of people. Learn about the creator who makes eclipses happen. Discover the glorious future of mankind as revealed by creation. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. On April the 8th, many millions of people in the U.S. and some in Canada and Mexico were able to see a total solar eclipse. Now, that's the sun and moon aligning together with the earth. And we wonder, well, how do people react to this? And why did we have so many go to where they could see the total solar eclipse? And some said, well, it's because of the beauty. They love that. Or it was an emotional experience. And others said, well, it was a spiritual scene, but didn't say much else than that, as far as I understand. But it was disturbing to me of what really nobody did say almost. Well, I don't know of anybody publicly saying this, but perhaps there were a few. They did not understand anything about what it had to do with their future. I mean, a very important future, and of course, it reminded me most of all of our potential in the very near future. It's going to be fulfilled and continue to be fulfilled for 1,000 years and in growth for all eternity. So there are scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that should have really inspired us and given us hope in this hopeless world. And I'm not just exaggerating. It's right there in your Bible and you can read it. And it is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Wherever you look, you find some verses on this. And it is really, if you look at it and have the full picture, it's our inheritance from God Himself. So it's yours and mine if we want it. The total solar eclipse was just a strong reminder of that, of our potential, and its most deeply inspiring truth that you could possibly ever see and understand. It is that great. It's a glorious majesty and should leave us breathless. And I'd like to show you that today. First of all, in Romans 8 and verse 29, just a sentence, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, Jesus Christ, talking about him. So he's the firstborn of many brethren. So he paved the way for all of us, the Son of God. And he wants to make other sons of God and bring many sons to glory. That's what his plan is. And Jesus Christ gave everything with his fiercely savage beating and crucifixion. And yet it blotted out our sins and gives us the opportunity to share David's throne with Jesus Christ, especially if we are the first fruits, those that are called out and do God's work or take His message to the world. And that is done, of course, before Christ comes a second time. Notice Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. It says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, or in us, as the King James has it. For the creation, not the creature, but the creation, an entire universe is what it means. An entire universe waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. So the universe is personified here, and it's just longing and groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. That is something that, see again, is after we become spirit beings and begin to beautify that entire universe. That's what it's talking about. But how many people mention anything about that? And this is surely one of the most inspiring visions in all of the Bible. Notice verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. The family of God. God is reproducing Himself in man. And then now those men and women that become spirit beings are going to be able to make this universe the most beautiful scene you've ever seen. And it's coming soon. Verse 22 and 23. We know that the whole creation has been groaning. Up to now, the whole creation has been groaning together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those are the first fruits, and we groan inwardly as we wait for the birth, it should read, as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So, here we are in just a twinkling of an eye where we're going to become a spirit being and we're going to look like God and be a God being. Philippians 3 and verse 21, you can see that. Or 1 John 3 verses 1 and 2. This is from Herbert W. Armstrong. What an amazing, marvelous revelation of knowledge. And then another quote he said, no more amazing, awesome, eye-opening passage could be written. No more amazing, awesome, eye-opening passage could be written. And he also said, it is so astonishingly revealing, one doesn't fully grasp it just reading quickly through it. You just don't get it. Now, what about that potential of ours? Paul really wrote a masterpiece here in Romans 8 so that we could understand what hope there is in our lives for everybody who's ever lived. They're going to have a chance, many of them, from a resurrection where they'll come back. If they never knew God, they'll come back and have a first chance to get to know God. That's something to ponder. Look at John 3. Let me show you something here. John 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Notice that. We know. The Pharisees know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Now, this is an opportunity that we have that God wants us to think about. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, it says, as in Adam all die. Now, everybody had to die because Adam had sinned. So in Christ, that is the second Adam, shall all be made alive. See, this second Adam is going to bring us alive. God says we really ought to be alive today because of that future. So I'll just quote from what we wrote about it. This is written by Mr. Armstrong, and it was determined at the time that God would close off the tree of life, that the Logos would come as Jesus Christ, and there would be Christ the Savior, and that He would pay the penalty of human sin, and then people could be reconciled back to God. Now the human race was cut off from God at the very time that God closed up the tree of life. He just closed up the tree of life, and they had, see, no more access to God. They would just not be able to deal with God whatsoever. Of course, Jesus Christ came and He shed blood and did everything He needed to do on this earth. He reconciled us to the Father, who has to be the one who begets us to reproduce Himself, recreating Himself in man. What a future that is. There is nothing God could do greater than that. And, well, what does this have to do with that total solar spectacle and eclipse that we really enjoyed watching, I think, in most cases? But here is a wonderful truth that we don't want to let slip away from us. See, when God gives us this life and this future, well, there's a lot to be grateful for. Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, I will build my church. That's what Christ said. He's going to build His church, and the gate of Hades is not going to stop it. It's not going to die. It'll always be there. Once He came and established this church, it's going to be there from that time all the way down to His second coming. Now, that's a promise. Where is that church that Jesus Christ Himself established and built to the point that the beginning of the first era? And then He's right in the middle of the church all the way down to the second coming. Revelation 3 in verse 21 says this, He that overcomes will I grant to sit with Me on My throne. So we're going to be sitting on God's throne. Now, let's take a look at Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 8. You can see here that Christ sustains the whole universe. The whole universe. He sustains that. And He sustains these solar eclipses and all of these amazing scenes in the universe. It's really a universe in action in a lot of ways. That total solar eclipse is sustained by the whole universe and by Jesus Christ Himself. And notice what it says in verse 5 of Hebrews 2. For unto the angels has He not put in subjection the world to come. That is, the world to come will not be in subjection to angels as this present world is, but not in the world tomorrow, whereof we speak. So we're speaking about the world to come. But one in a certain place testified, that was David in the Psalms, saying, What is man that You are mindful of him? What is man? Why are You, God, so mindful of man? David wanted to understand that deeply, and he certainly did learn a great lesson there. Or the Son of Man, that You visit Him, You have made Him a little lower than the angels, but that's just for a little while, and You crown Him with glory, man crowned with glory, or shall be, and honor and did set Him over the works of Your hands. You have put all things in subjection under man's feet. All things in subjection. Now, if you read the Moffat translation, it says the whole universe. And that's what it's talking about. God is going to give man the whole universe to build and beautify and make it wonderful in every way. And how long will that continue? Forever. That will continue forever. So this is the ultimate future of mankind. I'll just paraphrase 8 through 11, where it says, all things, the whole universe, but not yet all things. It's not here yet. We have to be patient, but it's on the horizon, and it's close. God created all things by Jesus Christ, and that's all given to us. That's our inheritance. And we're going to be, of course, those who are called out before the second coming are going to share David's throne with Jesus Christ. That's what God is going to give them, the reward He's going to give them. And notice what we wrote. here. What are we going to do then? These scriptures indicate we shall impart life to billions and billions of dead planets. Dead planets. Well, why are they dead? We'll see in a moment. As life has been imparted to that earth, we're going to rule for all eternity. That's a long time. And science has no answers. And religion has failed to tell us education about this. And what do you find in most religions? You don't find this. So what is the problem? Let's just look at Isaiah 51 in verse 16. I'll read that to you quickly. Verse 16, "And I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens." Plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, "You are my people." See, again, here you have in this total solar eclipse, you have the sun and the moon. And here we're going to be out there planting in the planets and in the moons and make it blossom like a rose. Very, very much like this earth was made that way, and today it's degenerating. But look, that eclipse had the sun and the moon, and that moon is in decay today. It's dead moon. But we're going to be able to bring it alive and make it beautiful like this earth has been at times, but isn't so nice today. Not at all. There is a dead moon up there, and we're going to make it and the whole universe blossom as a rose, just as the deserts are blossoming as a rose in that first 1,000 years, in the millennium. And it says that that desert in the universe is going to be dealt with the same way and made just as beautiful or more beautiful at that time. Then just one statement here in John 18, Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not of this world. It's another world that's coming of spirit beings that are going to make it everything glorious the way God wants it to be. There will be, see again, you have a kingdom. God is having us enter into His kingdom. What is a kingdom? Well, it tells you in the Bible very literally and specifically that these are governments in this world, and great kingdoms have been built on this earth, four that were ruling the world. And God puts His kingdom right in line with those, saying, well, look, This He's going to bring a kingdom with a government to this world. It's going to be the fifth ruler of the world, the very throne of God Himself. How about that for a vision? And yet it's given to man to do all of that, mankind. Daniel 2 in verse 44 says, "Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." It's going to be there forever. God's kingdom, just like those other four kingdoms, it has a government, it has a ruler, and it's going to rule this world just like those other kingdoms did, only it's going to be done God's way this time. Revelation 11 and verse 15 says this, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." We're going to rule forever. This makes completely plain the fact that the kingdom of God is a literal government, like the Roman Empire or the Chaldean Empire, all of those empires. And flesh and blood cannot inherit that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. We're going to be made spirit beings, from mortal men to immortality. That's what this is all about. Daniel 7, verse 14, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." I mean, this dominion, it's going to rule the earth. And then after that, the universe. It's everlasting. It's never going to be destroyed. What a future. And just if we could just think about that total solar eclipse and think, well, at least that ought to remind us of these wonderful, beautiful visions that God has given us and understanding and many, many scriptures. Daniel 7, verses 17 and 18 says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." The saints are going to do that. The people of God who yielded to God and want that kingdom and really go after it. God says He's going to give them rule over it. Just rule totally over that. Now, what should people see? What should they think about when they see a solar eclipse like the one we just had on April the 8th? What is so special about it? Well, if we understand these scriptures, how could you not be thrilled and really be reminded of what God has given us to inherit? This is the inheritance God is giving us. He wants you to have it, and He paid, He and Jesus Christ gave Christ life to this world to go through all that suffering and crucifixion so that we might be given this opportunity. Somebody had to pay the penalty for our sins. Somebody that was really more than all of us put together. The very Son of God. That's what this is all about. We need to keep our minds on that universe and all of those wonderful things that are happening at this time. Until next week, this is Gerald Flory. Goodbye, friends.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Incredible Human Potential, Does God Exist?, The God Family Vision, and How the Heavens Prophesy. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.